My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Bill Flores. He's a freshman representing the state's 17th Congressional District, longtime business owner, and a member of the House Budget Committee, among other panels on the House side of Capitol Hill. But it's that expertise we want to draw on for the next few minutes and get his reaction to the budget proposal offered today by the chairman of the House Budget Committee, Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Greg. And I look forward to discussing the importance of getting our fiscal house in order.
It's great to have you with us. And a lot of people, myself included, haven't had a chance to dig through a lot of this. But it seems like Congressman Ryan and Republicans on the committee are going after a couple of main priorities here. Number one, simplifying the tax code and bringing folks' tax burden down. And also dealing with spending and dealing with Medicare. Let's start on the tax front. The chairman says he wants to make it more fair, more simple, and more competitive. I see that he wants two tax brackets, 10% and 25%. What should folks know about that?
Well, what we're trying to do is to strip out all of the provisions of the tax code, which cause the tax code to slow down economic growth and to distort economic behavior of American families and American businesses. And so we proposed a greatly simplified structure that has two rates for individuals, 10% and 25%, and weeds out a lot of the tax loopholes and subsidies that were included, embedded in the current complicated code. And then on the corporate side, which is, I think, going to be also an important part of this overall agenda, is to reduce the rates to 25%. As of April 1st, we're going to have the highest corporate tax rate in the world, and by reducing it to 25%, we become much more competitive. And then also, we're going to migrate away from a worldwide taxation system to a territorial tax system, which most other countries have in the world. This should be hugely advantageous for American businesses that want to be competitive around the world.
In terms of revenue, you're going to have people saying that, look, we're already in a deficit. If you cut the revenue stream more than it already is, you're going to see bigger deficits. I would imagine you disagree with that. Explain why you don't think that'll be the case.
Well, those arguments have already started. Those arguments are false, though. We have designed this to be revenue neutral, and we worked with the Ways and Means Committee on a high-level basis to make sure that it was revenue neutral. But more importantly, we think that by reforming the tax code, we can actually stimulate economic growth because you have people that have certainty as to what their tax rates are going to be. You have a simplified tax structure so that people are investing more time in their businesses and less time in terms of trying to utilize the current tax code to lower their effective tax rate. So, through this simplification, we think we will have enhanced economic growth in the range of half a point of GDP to 1.5 points of extra GDP growth. And as a result of that, we'll actually have more revenue coming into the federal government because of that increasing the size of the economic pie. People are trying to say that we're reducing the level of revenues of the government. We're not. It's designed to be revenue neutral. But all in all, I think the real world results will be that it produces more revenue.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Bill Flores. And, sir, our listeners, our regular listeners, will know that for many years you ran an energy business in the state of Texas. Explain what some of the frustrations were for you in dealing with the tax code and how, if you were still running that on a day-to-day basis, would be affected by this new plan from House Republicans on the Budget Committee.
Well, the tax code for energy businesses is highly complex, and because of the complexity for energy companies, you spend a lot of time trying to figure out how do you change your investment profile so that you can lower your effective tax rate. And as a result of that, sometimes you don't allocate your capital in the most optimum way. I'm not saying that this happens all the time, but occasionally it does. So it would have been a lot easier for me to know exactly what my deductions were going to be and what my ultimate rate was going to be. And this, it would have made my life substantially easier than what it is. Energy companies, despite what President Obama says, pay some of the highest highest income tax rates in this country, and particularly when you add other state and local and severance taxes and federal royalties onto the tax load, they are really the most heavily taxed business in this country and not the least heavily taxed business, as the president would lead us to believe.
Congressman, let's move on to another issue now. You mentioned that you thought this was revenue neutral, and if it helps the businesses in the way you think it will, it'll actually help to shrink the deficit a little bit. What about spending in general, whether it's entitlements, whether it's discretionary spending? Where do you take the biggest cuts here?
Well, we looked at the areas where we have the biggest exposure from a fiscal insolvency standpoint. Medicare is the biggest driver of our debt today. We've got rapidly expanding costs. You've got a rapidly expanding pool of beneficiaries as baby boomers retire that are part of the struggles that Medicare faces today. And what we tried to do was to reform Medicare in such a way where we protect it for not only for today's generation of beneficiaries, but we also preserve it for future generations. And then we also give future generations a choice as to the style of Medicare that they'd like to have when they retire. Is it going to be something where it's a traditional fee-for-service model like seniors have today? Or is it going to be more like what I, as a member of Congress, have as far as my health choices? So we did that, and we did it in such a way where we strengthened the economic underpinnings of Medicare for at least the next 75 years. We had to look at other entitlement reform as well. We looked at some of the things the president tried to do in his budget in terms of trying to move programs from discretionary spending into mandatory or autopilot spending, and we fixed that where Congress actually has to take a look at our discretionary at these programs on an annual basis. We looked at farm programs. We looked at welfare reform. We think that we need to go back and revisit the welfare reform of the 90s and try to make sure that welfare achieves its goal of helping people when they're down on their luck and helping them get back on their feet and go out and get private sector paychecks.
Congressman, as you well know, the White House has called this a horror picture, I believe, in terms of its movie analogy to this bill, especially as it relates to Medicare. I'm sure that doesn't come as much of a surprise, but how do you expect this to move forward? Just like last year, the odds would be in your favor in passing it in the House, but maybe not so much in the Senate. So how far do you expect to get with this?
Well, let me respond to the horror picture comment that the White House made. That's pretty egregious comment for the White House to make, because if you look at the White House's own budget that they presented to the Congress in February of this year, they, through some bookkeeping gimmickry, showed that they could keep debt to GDP at a relatively stable level for about the next 9 to 10 years, and then it just explodes. And I asked Timothy Geithner how he would propose that the Secretary of Treasury, 30 years from now, try to finance our debt, and he didn't have an answer for it. So it's pretty egregious for them to call this a horror picture. And when you talk about Medicare, the president is the responsible for destroying Medicare today. He pulled $500 billion out of the Medicare program so he could spend on his health care program. And then he's got an IPAB, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which consists of 15 unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats that are going to control everybody's health care decisions. So Medicare, as we know it, was destroyed by President Obama. Now, as far as passage in the House, I expect that this budget will pass the House next week. It will likely go to the Senate, and then it will likely suffer the same fate that most of the bills that we passed in the House have experienced when they've gone to the Senate. Harry Reid tosses them in his trash can. But we will continue to remind the American people that Harry Reid hasn't passed a budget since early 2009, and that it's irresponsible to have the world's largest economy and to have its federal government not have any sort of a roadmap for a fiscal future.
And real quickly, before we let you go, politically speaking, obviously Republicans have made the argument you just made about Democrats not passing a budget in more than 3 years now. At the same time, it's sometimes easier to criticize the other person's specific idea than putting out those of your own. So do you feel like this is going to be a major target for Democrats the rest of this campaign season?
I don't think so. Well, let me rephrase that answer. Yes, the Democrats will try to use the budget as a tool to attack and to demagogue Republicans. But the thing where I think the Democrats miss the point is that the American people understand that the country is on an unstable fiscal trajectory. The American people know that they as a family cannot spend the way and borrow the way the federal government has, and so they get it when we lay out a clear choice of two futures between the president and Harry Reid's vision of debt, doubt, and decline versus our vision, and that is to help have a path to prosperity, to restore the promise for future generations in this country, and candidly, to restore our security. If you look at what the president's budget does to defense, it just eviscerates our security, our military men and women, the tools that they're going to have to be able to defend our country. And what we've done in this budget is to restore some of that, the president's attempts to hurt our security.
We'll certainly be watching this debate and all the different facets, as you've explained to us, sir. Thank you very much for your time today, as always.
Greg, it's great to be with you. I ask our listeners to continue praying for our country during our difficult times and for the military men and women that protect it.
I think we'd all agree with that, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Bill Florence represents his state's 17th Congressional District, member of the House Budget Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.